2 John verses 1 to 3. These are God's words. The elder, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. So the verse that we're going to be hearing before the pastoral prayer this morning is that third one. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Now, why include this greeting or this benediction as a prayer scripture when, as it reads, it is a statement about the future rather than the expression of a wish? The answer to that is because it occupies the place in the letter where Paul and Peter and Jude all included prayers, and indeed many of you probably recognize it sounds a lot like some of the prayers of Paul. In fact, a portion of it is identical to the prayers that he makes when he writes pastoral epistles. Indeed, when we get to 3 John, this letter's same writer will express a prayer in the same part of the location, the greeting. John has been teaching us about assured prayer these last several weeks in 1 John 5, verses 13 through 17. And now, in the place of a prayer, he makes a sure statement. From what we have learned over these last weeks, we know that those things of which God makes us sure in Scripture are the things that we should be praying for, that we are to ask anything according to his will. And so when he makes a sure statement like this, he's telling us about something that we should be praying for, and that when we pray according to his will, that prayer is part of the Lord's appointed means by which they come. Remember, he said, we know that we have what we ask. We know that he hears us, and we know that we have what we ask. So now, in 2 John verse 3, the apostle makes an assured declaration in the place of a prayer. It's an apostolic benediction, a blessing that is pronounced upon us. And as a certain blessing, it is also a blessing for which we are to pray. Now, if you look at this particular benediction, grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love, there's some important theology here. And so this particular benediction adds the assurance of theological reasoning to the authority of apostolic pronouncement. The reason that we can be sure that grace will be with us, and that we can be sure that mercy will be with us, and that we can be sure that peace will be with us, is that God the Father has given himself to us in the person of the Son. When he says, grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, he is telling us something about the relationship of the Son and the Father. This grace, mercy, and peace come from the Son every bit as much as they come from the Father. The Father and the Son are distinct persons. He doesn't just say from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to relate them to one another as distinct persons. The Son of the Father. And yet they are the same God, the same being. One being in two, and we know that it's three, including the Spirit, persons. So the Son of the Father is the Lord Jesus Christ. not just the Lord, but also Jesus, the Savior of his people. Not just the Lord God, but also Christ, the Anointed One, the man whom God had promised and sent. One reason why such careful theology, and we here have the doctrine of the Trinity and the doctrine of the Incarnation, one reason why such careful theology is so important is because it strengthens our assurance and it forms our prayers. You may know people who think that doctrine confuses or that doctrine divides, but doctrine assures us and doctrine directs us to the Lord Jesus. The apostle has just said in verse 1 that he loves the church in truth and that all who have known the truth also love her in truth. There are some who think the elect lady here is one particular lady in a household or one particular congregation, but the apostle says all who have known the truth love this particular lady. And so this is the church, and her elect sister is probably a particular church from which he's writing at the end in verse 13. But he says that he loves her in truth and that all who have known the truth also love her in truth. And then he concludes the verse that we have before us this evening, the Son of the Father in truth and love. So where did the love in truth come from up in verse 1? It came from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the truth who abides in us and will be with us forever, as verse 2 describes it. The truth is being described not as a collection of propositions, ideas, or even a summary of reality, but as a person, someone who dwells with us, someone who will be with us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with, toward God, and the Word was God. And now the Word who has become flesh, who is the way, the truth, and the life, he dwells in us by his Spirit, and he will be with us forever. It's from him that love for the church in truth is formed in our hearts. It's Christ's own love for his church that he forms in the hearts of believers. Therefore, if we are united to Jesus and our love for the church has come from Jesus and Jesus dwells in us and Jesus will be with us, then we can be sure that we get all the other benefits that Jesus brings. And so in addition to having love for the church and Jesus' presence with us, verses 1 and 2, we can know, we can be sure that grace and mercy and peace will be with us from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Grace will be with us. Grace is all that God is, righteous and powerful and good, for all that we are by contrast. Not righteous, but guilty. And yet his grace makes us righteous in the place of our guilt. We are not powerful, but weak. But his grace invests us with his power, so that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. We are not good in ourselves, but wicked. But his grace provides that goodness in us, out of which we do good. So grace will be with us, and mercy will be with us. Namely, the removal of our misery by God's commitment to doing us good. And peace will be with us. The steady continuing, the steady persistence to us of our total well-being, as he will say in the next letter, in health and in spirit, body and soul, by God's grace and mercy. Now we are assured of the fact that these three will be ours from Christ, because we can already see that we have from Christ love for God and for his church in us. It's the same logic as Romans 8:28. If God has made you to love him, it's because he's called you according to his purpose. That's the only way love for him ever gets produced in a sinner's heart. And if he has called you according to his purpose and produced love for him inside you, then he's making all things work together for your good. Similarly, here in 2 John verses 1 through 3, if he has called you in truth and joined you to Jesus and worked in you Jesus' love for his church in your heart, then you know that grace will be with you forever, and mercy will be with you forever, and peace will be with you forever. So this is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus, and we are to pray for it because it is his will, and we can be sure of it because it is his will. It is one of these assured prayers that we've been learning about, that we desire to pray and that we can pray.